Hey guys.
Hey. Hello.
Hi everyone.
Hey everybody.
Hello. Hi Helen.
Hi there. Hello everyone I don't know yet. David, Jules. Hey Scott. So yeah. Hey there.
There's Andy Penner.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy. We haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. I've had a few other things going on in my life.
I know.
Hey, Andy.
Hi.
Yeah. Bernadette.
Hello.
If I turn my camera off, I'm still working for half an hour here. So
timing the company.
Hey, we won't tell.
Yeah, you know, that's one advantage of Zoom, right?
Sylvia, hi Jesse.
Hi Iris, how are you?
Good. I've really been thinking about you guys and I speak with the poets and society, and so I paid my dues at least. So here I am. And Andy, are you? Great. John, I have a question for you.
Yes, Shirley.
Who selects the poems for the Placidus reading?
Well, there's a story there because there's a committee. I was on the committee this year and last year. There were about five of us on the committee. There's about 10 people on the organizing committee and then about five people that were on the poetry reading committee. So that's, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had to recuse myself because Jules had submitted a poem and unfortunately she got turned down, but because it was a wonderful Sistina, but it didn't, you know, it required a little more attention perhaps than non-poets are ready to, you know, to give. And most of the people on the committee were not poets. And anyway,
you know what it was. So
but it's great.
So, you know, that's all right. I'm going to watch it on Zoom instead now. So,
but that's not a great.
Yeah,
that's sure. Not a great recommendation, though, that only not people who didn't know anything about poetry were the ones choosing the poets.
Well, you know, it's a church thing.
That again.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
But, you know, we got some great poetry and, you know, so and so, you know, but we also got a lot more poems than we've ever gotten. So,
yeah. How many entries did you have?
I think there were like 40, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
We had to stick to, you know, we only had time because they want to do it within 1 hour. with music.
And I was everything. Looking forward to being on the video.
So we're down to, so we only had 15 we were able to accept. So, yeah. But it'll be interesting. Yeah. Last year, if you recall, everything was on Zoom. And this year, the poets will be in the church reading from the lectern. But the audience, except for, well, the poets will have, you know, a guest. But aside from that, everyone will be on Zoom. And because they didn't want to crowd the church, you know, and people will be masked in the church except when they're reading. But so it'll be an interesting blend, see how that works. Yeah.
It's lovely that the audience will be able to see it, because otherwise, unless you have gone there yourself, yeah, and see it before, you don't kind of get the atmosphere of it.
Yeah, and it's such a wonderful atmosphere with the lights dimmed and the candles and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. And although last year was kind of nice, we were able to have people, you know, like Nathan Brown reading from Texas and other people from Taos, and, you know, but it's, you know, there's some advantages to keeping the poets local as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, that's for anyone that doesn't know, this is the annual, it's like the 25th or something annual Placidus Winter Solstice Poetry Reading. And it is next Sunday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So if anybody needs information about it, you could contact me, or Jules might be able to have something, put something in the chat about it. But it's
also, the Zoom, you can get onto Zoom starting at 6:45.
Right. And the poets, they're asking the poets to get there earlier. Yeah. And they'll have some music and stuff starting things off. So yeah, so that'll be nice. Yeah. Yeah. We have someone from Silver City. Azuma, hi.
Oh, yeah. Who's there? From Silver City.
Azuma Leela Forrest.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
I corrected you, but I was muted.
Is it Azima?
Azima, yeah.
Azima, okay.
Yeah.
Azima, are you or do you know who the new Silver City Poet Laureate is?
No, I'm not, but I do know her, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is her name?
Pardon?
Who is new Silver City Poet Laureate?
It's Allison Waterman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's never been part of River Poets, which is our chapter. But she's a wonderful poet, and we have something else that goes on in Silver City called Poetry Bread. I don't know how it got its name or what that's about, but anyway, we have maybe once a quarter or so, we have a reading. And it's been live, but we've done it much less since COVID. So I don't know that, but Allison has always been reading for those.
We'll have to get in touch.
Well, good evening, everyone. I see that we are at about 6:40, so I think we'll kind of get started here. But it is so nice to see all of your faces, and I really, really appreciate all of you coming out tonight. We have some fairly exciting things to share with you. So I'm very, very, you know, I'm excited, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I wanted to kind of share with you a little structural intent for the evening, I guess. So what I'd like to do is just ask that we save most of the questions for the second half of the town hall. I know there's probably a lot of questions and a lot of things that people want to know about and talk about, and I'm all for it. But what I'd like to do is share some of the information with you first to see if we can answer some of those questions up front. And then after that, we can hopefully fill in any gaps that, may exist still. So I am going to ask for tonight, just as we get started, that everybody please mute yourselves on your Zoom while we're talking. We just want to make sure we're respecting whoever has the floor at the moment. But if you have a question, please do raise your hand and let us know, and we'll try to get to that right away. And also just a bit of Zoom etiquette for those who may not know. Everything we are recording tonight for posterity. So if anything that gets typed in the chat, whether it's to the group or individually to another member, a private chat, all of that does get recorded. So keep that in mind, because I know I've been in events in the past where people unfortunately put things into private chat that they didn't really want to share. So just a heads up on that. Other than that, yeah, we're here tonight because it has been a very interesting year. And I want to start by saying thank you to our current board. And for those of you who may not know who our current board is, let me quickly make some introductions. Of course, most of you know Shirley. She has been very involved in the society for a long time, and she's currently our chancellor and very much one of the driving forces. Also, Bernadette, our past president, is now back with us as our vice president. We're very excited for that as well. Myself, Zachary Klugman, as the president, of course, and our wonderful treasurer, who has had to be very, very patient with us this year, Helen Knoll. So if you've not had the pleasure of meeting her, she's a lovely woman. And we're very grateful to all of you. We also have our chapter chairs, of course, including Quan and Basia and Elise, who I don't think is here tonight, it looks like, all of these people, Scott, of course, Wiggerman, all of these people have been instrumental. And we're not a full board at the moment. It's one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit later. We do still need a secretary, and we need to fill in some chairs that have gone vacant. But we'll talk about that, like I say, in a minute. But I just want to say thank you to all those people I've just mentioned, because we've had our work cut out for us this year. This has been a strangely challenging year, and we've had some very unexpected and just unprecedented things to process and move through. But one of those things has been creating and revising and then re-revising and re-revising the budget. But the good news is, out of all of that, after many, many meetings, we have a budget that we're going to, that I think we feel pretty good about. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. I'm going to go ahead and kind of start us off. As I say, we have approved a budget for this year. I'd like to ask for those of you, I don't recall if that budget, I think that budget was only sent out to chapter chairs and members of the board, if I remember correctly. Is that right, Helen?
Yes, just to the board, chapter okay. chairs, whether or not they were at that meeting where we approved it. So I included everybody who's on board, but that's it. No one else.
Thank you. So in a minute, I'd like to just kind of briefly go over the budget with some of y'all, because I know that's always one of the questions that exists, is what our budget looks like, what our finances are like for the year. And of course, I know that there are interesting perceptions and conceptions out there of what that actually looks like. So we're not going to delve real deep into that today, but I do think that it's helpful to be transparent and kind of talk about what we've allocated for the year and things like that. But let's start with something a little bit more fun. I know one of the big things that we all look forward to every year, of course, is our state convention. And we have been making progress on that. So I would like to share with everyone the date for our convention in 2022. Which is going to be April 16th. That's a Saturday. I'll also send an email out with this information later, so you can also have that. And it's going to be really exciting this year, guys. We are going to go virtual. We did decide, with Omicron springing up and everything else happening, that we couldn't risk the hybrid event that we had originally hoped for. It's just not appropriate or responsible to do it that way. So we're going to be virtual. The upside of that is that we're going to use the opportunity of that to try to reach out and bring in poets from around the country and maybe beyond if we can, so that we kind of open up our convention of folks that we maybe don't traditionally see. So that's going to be very, very, hopefully very exciting for us. We have some big goals for those people maybe, and hopefully we'll be able to update you soon on confirming those guests. But in the meantime, what we can tell you is that on the Friday before that, the 15th, April 15th, there will be an event. And then the Sunday after that, there will be another event, both locally in Albuquerque. So we're thinking of those as kind of pre and post convention events that people can attend if they choose. They're not directly part of the convention, but they're affiliated, if you will. And so they're opportunities for poets who may be interested in having a whole weekend of poetry to participate, because they're open to everyone. So in that way, hopefully people will have an opportunity to really get involved and share poetry and hear great poetry from others. So the details on that will be forthcoming shortly. We will be charging for the convention this year. I know that's always a debate that we end up having, and that's valid. But the reason that we're charging this year, the biggest part of the reason that we're charging this year, is that we are paying all of our features and workshop people. I don't personally believe, great question, John. Yes, the pre and post convention events will also be virtual. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you for clarifying. So yeah, as I say, we will be charging, but I don't believe that we should ever be asking poets to work for free. I'm just not behind that philosophy at all. It's completely nonsense to me. So we have included that in our budget, our fees for speakers and workshop leaders this year. So as I say, we'll try to sum some of that up a bit more for you. But I'm excited for the potential of it. The other thing that we're going to do with the registration fees is that we're going to have an early bird registration period up to, once registration opens, leading up all the way to February 15th, people will be able to register at the early bird rate, which will be $20 for members and $45 for non-members. After the February 15th date, those fees will change a little bit, and it'll be $25 for members and $50 for non-members. So of course we're doing that in hopes that people who are not members will sign up to save that little bit of extra money. Oh, that's right. Good point, Jules. I did not think of that. We may have to address that. April 17th is Easter. That escaped us. Something we'll have to look at. To answer the question that Jules put in chat, yes, we do. Our convention chair is Marissa Prada, and she is working with us. In fact, we have some meetings scheduled coming up to start trying to get some more of these details to you soon. But we're going to do a couple things with the convention this year as well. I don't believe Marissa is here tonight. I think she had conflict scheduling wise. And if I'm mistaken, Marissa, please do let me know. But yes, so we're going to be doing a couple things that are different this year as well. And that's going to include a sort of a book selling option. So everybody who is a member who would like to put their books up for sale will have an option to do so. There'll be a very small fee associated with that. I think we decided on $5 for the registration for that. But it will essentially mean that you can have all of your books and the links to them listed virtually and available to everybody who attends for several days. In fact, we may even leave it on the website for 6 months. So just kind of a fun, relatively easy way to get a little extra promotion for the work that you're doing. Another thing we're going to be doing this year for the anthology that I'm excited about is we are going to be publishing an anthology. So leading up to the convention, we will begin accepting submissions. We haven't decided exactly when, but we'll probably end the submission deadline the day before or the day of the convention so that people can kind of bring their work all the way up to the day. And then a few months later, of course, we'll go through the process of getting it published. But we're thinking of this as a fun sort of memento and takeaway for the convention. It will be open to non-members as well. But primarily, we want it to be sort of a snapshot of the year and the folks who are able to come out and attend and be there with us. So hopefully that's something that's exciting for everybody. We're going to try to make it at least as good as Billy's, but I don't know. Billy does a pretty great job, so we'll try to live up to that. But it should be really fun. And we're actually going to be buying a number of ISBNs so that we can look at publication through the society as something that we do more often as well. Okay, so I won't go on too much longer about the convention, but we are going to, as I say, be sending out details as they evolve. So keep an eye out. You will be getting some emails. We're going to try not to flood your email, but occasionally, hopefully once every maybe 2 weeks or so, you should get an email that kind of has some updates on everything as we go. Another exciting announcement, something that we're excited about. So we recognize, of course, that contests are one of the things people are very excited about within the society. And so we do have a new contest that is currently live on the website, if you haven't had a chance to see that yet. John, did you have a question? Okay.
Sorry, I was just waving at Janet.
No problem. yeah, absolutely. So as I say, we do have a new poetry contest live. It's a little bit different because it is a poetry video contest. I want to stress that we're not looking for anybody to become, you know, James Cameron. You don't have to direct the Titanic or anything. You can absolutely record a poem on your phone and send it in, or any other method that you would like to choose to record your video. And you can be as creative as you like. If you want to sit in your living room and read the poem, that's fine. If you want to include some animations or stick figures or sock puppets, by all means, feel free. At the end of the day, we're mostly looking at the poem itself and the performance of it. But we really just wanted to take advantage of all of this new technology that exists for poets as a media for sharing their work, right? So, yes. Oh, yes, we did, Iris. We did have a convention this year. It was virtual as well. I'm going to say one thing about that, actually. I'm going to use that as a quick segue. One thing I want to assure everybody of, and this is with all due love and respect to the convention this last year, because I think it was wonderful, especially given the circumstances. But I can promise you that this year there will be more breaks, because that was the only thing I saw as one of the shortcomings that I think we missed out last year, was not giving people time to get up and you know, use the restroom or do whatever they may have needed to do. So there will be a few more breaks. It'll be a little bit structured a little bit differently. But yeah, so, and as I say, if we get some of the folks that we're working on, I think you're going to see some very new faces and some very exciting faces as well. Okay, so yes, please do check out the video contest on the website. The link is live. If anybody needs that link, I can try to post it here in the chat in a moment to take you straight to the page. But on the banner of the website, you'll see at the top, there's a new listing that says contests new, and you can go right to that. Yes, correct, Scott. So anybody who registers for the convention will be able to submit to the anthology. We thought about only having it be local poets, but we felt like that would be sort of disrespectful of poets who may want to log in from outside of the state. And we see it as an opportunity to include hopefully new members as well, because since we are living in this virtual world, there's really no reason that people from New York or Timbuktu couldn't log in and become members of the society and participate with us. And that'd be great. We love seeing new faces. Okay. And I apologize if I'm going a little fast, y'all. I'm excited, and I want to try to make sure we get all the information out to you. But as I say, we'll open it up for questions momentarily. Another thing we're working on. So one of the things we've been asking ourselves a lot is, what are we doing to make membership in the society valuable for our members, right? Outside of what we've done before, which we think there's some great things that we plan to continue doing, but how can we add to that? Surely, that is a great question. I don't know that we have discussed it, but I think the plan probably will be that we are hoping people who are submitting will be attending the convention. Yes, it's sort of a twofold motivation, we hope, incentive, both to submit and to attend. So that is the plan, I believe. But another thing we're doing, because we want to, again, add value to the membership for our society members. So we are looking at beginning a monthly event for New Mexico State Poetry Society members, an open mic, basically, if you will. We have a number of venues in the city that are available to us, but of course, again, with Omicron and the variants that are springing up everywhere, and the fact that so many of our members do live across the state, we're gonna start those monthly events, obviously, as a virtual event, and see how that goes. And if people feel like they'd rather continue with the virtual event monthly, we can absolutely do that. But I think it's important that we have a space for all of us to get together once a month and share some poetry. I know there are a number of great events around the city. Jules and John have a fantastic one, for instance. And I certainly don't want to take away from any of those things, but I sort of feel that there's no such thing as too many open mics. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. but I think it's a great idea for us to have something where we can really encourage our members to gather together as well. And that's been something obviously that's hard to do in this pandemic era. So again, hopefully something that we can see blossom and grow. Let's see what else. We are working on a couple of new things for the website. One of the things that has been created. Oh, thank you, Jules. Absolutely. We're hoping people will definitely take advantage of the new open mic and really attend. We'll send the details on the first one out pretty soon. Right. Absolutely. But we're also adding some things to the website. We want to make sure that the website is actually being used a little bit more. And of course, that means we want to add things to it that attract you guys to come out and use them, right? We have the calendar. Not a lot of people submit to the calendar, and that's okay. I understand. But we certainly want to encourage you to use the calendar on the website. And we're going to work really hard on making sure that things that get submitted are updated as quickly as possible for that as well. So that all of our members who do have events can promote those things. We also are creating a new suggestion box, a digital suggestion box. We had a couple of great titles for them, some of them more playful than others, but we ultimately decided on, I believe, creative solutions for the suggestion box, which will be going on the website. And that is, exactly what it sounds like. We want to hear from you guys. We know that members of the society have a lot of great ideas, and we want you to send those in. So that'll be a chance for you all to send in your ideas on what the society could do better, what maybe we're missing out on, things that aren't working. Although the one thing we'd like to ask is if you send a suggestion on what's not working, please share with us also your thoughts on what we could do differently, right? We want to, that's why we chose that name, Creative Solutions. We want to look for solutions together so that if we are missing something or doing something wrong, we have a chance to fix that up, right? And if you want to use the suggestion box for other reasons, like sending recipes, please don't. Feel free to share your recipes, but maybe in a different format. So we're going to have a few things coming to the website. Some of them are still in development, and we're looking at ways to make that more of a useful resource for all of you as well, including things like possibly doing book reviews of our members who have books out, maybe doing a monthly feature on a local member and their recent book or something like that, as well as trying to, how many of you know that we have a part of the website where we feature members of the State Poetry Society and you can have your bio and a little bit of a snapshot of you posted? How many of you guys know that? Okay, so I think it's been not super well known. So that's another thing we're gonna look at, really bringing to the foreground a little bit more as well, because we take pride in all of you, and we want all of you to be able to highlight yourselves and the work that you're doing. I know all too well that sitting around your desk at 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. or whenever you find the time to write can be a sort of a lonely and intimate process, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But after you do all those hours of hard work, we want to be able to share that with the world and say, hey, look at what they've done. Look at what John has done. Look at what Shirley has done. Look at what Bernadette has done, who, by the way, seems to be just blowing up lately with her submissions. I don't know if y'all have seen that, but it's awesome. And we love that. We want to share that with everyone. So all of that to say, keep an eye on the website. We're going to be bringing you some new resources and tools, hopefully, through there. And I have to say a special gratitude to Debbie Gutierrez, who is our webmaster and currently working on the membership. She has been phenomenal, guys. I got to tell you, like, absolutely, we couldn't do it without her. She has done tremendous work for us, and we're so glad she's still willing to help us out. So thank you, Debbie. I don't know if she's here, but if not, I'll show her the video later and tell her again. last thing that I have And I'll open it up after this to other members of the board who may have things they want to add. But the last thing is going back to what I said earlier, we are desperately seeking a secretary. Some of you may know that we had a pretty full board not too long ago. We had most of the chairs filled and things like that due to a number of different circumstances and things that happened that were unpredictable and unprecedented that changed. So we are currently seeking a secretary and some chairs. We have chairs to fill. We're looking very much for a youth chair, a membership chair, and a communications chair especially. Those are kind of the ones we're really looking at the most upfront. So if you, anybody here, or somebody you know might be willing to volunteer some time to that, please do let us know, especially on that secretary role, because we want to make sure that everything we're doing is documented well and is super transparent. And we also want to make sure that we are able to jump in. We have great ideas on ways to involve the youth and the spoken word community and things like that coming up soon. So there's going to be a lot of really neat things happening, a lot of really cool opportunities. So definitely let us know. And we're also going to be working on bringing back the Poets Picnic and Poetry in the Classroom and some of those things that y'all are used to seeing happen. But we need some help to make all of that happen. The good news is, like you say, we finished the budget. That was one of our major goals. And now that that's done, we're all breathing a little bit easier. Let me look at this. I see a question in chat here. Yes. So there's a question from Jules about how much time and board meeting requirements that are involved in being a volunteer. Ideally, for board members, we will be meeting roughly quarterly, more as needed if things come up, and certainly around convention time, we may have a few extra meetings. But typically, we're looking at only having a quarterly meeting, so once every couple, 3 months. And then, you know, of course, checking in with us to, you know, we'll have some individual meetings, one-on-one meetings with the board just to discuss specific projects. So our goal is for that to not be super time consuming because we recognize that it is a volunteer position. So ideally a couple hours a week, maybe at most, I would think on average, but there will be times of course where that may go up or fluctuate a bit. Yes, and we definitely do need a membership chair. It is a little bit more labor intensive to be the membership chair, you know, especially between board meetings, because we have new members joining all the time. Memberships are changing pretty much consistently. So that's a little bit more time consuming. You probably need to check into that at least once or twice a week and do updates, but hopefully they're not too time consuming. We're also gonna be working on, that reminds me, we're going to also be working on a list of benefits for the membership in NMSPS. So we're hoping to actually produce something soon that will be a nice detailed list of, you know, basically what you know, what the benefits are of being an NMSPS member. And that includes, of course, local benefits and benefits that extend to the National Federation as well, because we are going to be having a number of contests. The Federation has dozens of contests. We're planning to have a couple of new ones as well ourselves that we haven't done before, because again, we want to encourage people to submit and be really active in the community. We want this to be not just a gathering place where we see each other once or twice a year, but where we are really actively gathering and you know, creating together and sharing those creations together and celebrating one another's achievements, because that in my mind is what a society like this should be about. There's been a tremendous amount of work done in the past by board members who have come before, and we want to carry that forward and also keep building on it. So I am going to ask, though, we have another very exciting event coming up in 2023, and it's going to be brand new and very unique, and I'm hoping that maybe Shirley will tag in here and tell you a little bit about that as well. Would you mind, Shirley?
Okay, here we go. Sometime this past year, the National Federation of State Poetry Societies, I'm going to just call them the Federation to keep us separate from the society, which is us. Okay. The Federation, our mothership, voted to co-sponsor with the Florida State Poetry Association a big slam contest. It'll be called the Blackberry Peach Slam, I don't know, competition, grand finales, whatsoever. And it's going to be in October in Daytona Beach. And they've already booked the hotel. It's a wonderful venue for that. And what they're asking all of the state societies to do, and there's also some avenues also for states that don't have a society, to enter from the outside. But anyway, it will be your regular competitions that lead up to each state society at least having a champion that will go and say represent New Mexico. And anyway, they're hoping that what the societies will do is to help fund that person's travel there and so on. It's big money. It's $2,000 first prize, $1,000 second prize, $500 I think third, and then there are several $250 prizes for runners up. And I was asked to be on the working group for that, but I wasn't able to do that. Zach stepped in very ably for me, and we'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that. But the thing that makes it very, very exciting is that the organizers of it are hoping that New Mexico will take it on the next year. And since we have, we certainly have the expertise and know-how here in New Mexico to do that. And so anyway, it might be that, you know, once again, we have a kind of a, not a national convention so much this time as this national competition in which our federation and our state society will play a big part.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shirley, for sharing that. It is a very exciting opportunity. We're currently working on the guidelines for the competition itself so that we can send those out to everybody through all of the state societies as well. And one of the things that's really exciting about that is I'm working on those guidelines along with several people who are very much veterans of the Poetry Slam community, Ed Mabry, Noir Hinte from Florida, several other folks. And we're working on it collaboratively so that we can make sure we don't miss anything. But it's not going to be the typical slam in the sense that, you know, it's restricted. No slam is actually restricted, but it feels that way often, right? It can feel very limited. So we're working hard to try to make sure that people know that you don't have to be a slam poet per se or spoken word artist. Anybody can participate and compete in this because we will be looking at the poetry as well as the performance and things like that. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And I think there's some very, very powerful opportunity around that, because we're going to be, as Shirley said, possibly hosting it here in New Mexico, which could be very much a big deal in 2024. And it's a great chance now that most of the national poetry slams have fallen by the wayside for any number of reasons. And I could tell you the whole history, but nobody really probably wants to hear it. It's long and tedious. At the end of the day, you know, a lot of those large convention, large national events have sort of fallen apart. Some of them are coming back in new forms. And this is really an opportunity for the National Federation and our local society as well to jump into that next phase of helping to create a space for people that looks a little bit different than what SLAM did before. So we're really excited about it. And as Shirley said, there's some big cash prizes available. And like any other convention, a great chance to just network and meet new folks from across the country. So we'll be hopefully sending some of that information with dates and things like that out pretty soon. I believe that our next meeting will be in January. So hopefully by January, mid-January, we'll have some more information for you on that.
So I have a question.
Yes.
I put that in the chat, but we haven't done anything much about it yet. I'm interested in knowing how does being members of the National Federation of State Poetry Societies benefits us as members. I know that one of the things that happened in the past is that they had national poetry contests, someone could enter those. I didn't get any notice last year about that going on. And I haven't gotten any notice this year about any National Federation of State Poetry Societies having a poetry contest. So just how does it benefit us to be members of that? And then what's going on with their poetry contest? Thank you.
Great questions. Shirley?
Okay. Those are being held every year, Sylvia. They come around regular as clockwork. Yes, right. We haven't seen a lot of impetus from, we haven't gotten a lot of notice from the New Mexico State Poetry Society, but you can go to the NFSPS website and everything is there.
Okay, but why wouldn't our society send out that information to the members instead of our having to take another step to go to the National Federation? We are all so busy. So, you know, adding another step of things that we need to do when we are actually members of the Federation, that might be something that you can take a look into doing, Zach, informing the membership about the contests that are coming up, not you specifically, but somebody.
I think that's a great suggestion. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I think that part of that this year, at least, not to make any excuses, but I think part of that has been the restructuring that we had to do sort of unexpectedly. But I agree with you. I think that it's very important that that information is made available to members so that it's as easy as possible to participate in those things. So we will look at that. We will absolutely look at that. I think that is a great suggestion. And that's part of what we're hoping that our new communications chair can also help us.
I can tell you right now that the submission period is going to be from January the 1st until March the 15th. That's what it is every year. The list of all of the contest themes is on their website. You can download it and print it. And all the guidelines are there as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And another thing that may also help is as we start to have some of these monthly events, one of my hopes is that we'll be able to distribute things like the Strophes newsletter that comes from the NFSPS, which has a lot of that information as well. So hopefully we'll be able to help put some of that directly in your hands, so to speak. Although virtually we'll have to probably transcribe. Or send it maybe through an email. But I definitely do want to look at that. I agree with you. And so, you know, as I say, one of the things that we're hoping our new communications chair, when we get one, can do is help us to really, because communication in my mind is one of the most important things we can do is, you know, so that you all know what we're up to and we're hearing back from you as well. Because this is our society, right? Not ours, all of ours. and we want that to be very much the case. We want to make sure that always feels that way as well.
Another simple way to do that, of course, is to provide links from our NMSPS website to the Federation website announcement about the state contests.
Absolutely, thank you, Janet. That's a great point. And yeah, as we're updating the website, certainly that's something we could look at being more mindful.
Yeah, I was just going to say that as a chair. I used to get, there were like a trifold that I would hand out to people at our meetings, and I never get those anymore. So that's one of the reasons why we are not giving them out, because I'm not getting them.
That's good.
But they are available on the website, and you can print it out and fold it up yourself if you want. I think it's even a PDF.
Okay.
And in the past year, you can also now submit to those contests online through Submittable, which you used to not be able to do. It used to be you had to type them up a certain way and so on. So it's gotten better.
Yeah, I know that most of them, you're correct, most of the submissions are through Submittable now, but thank you for pointing that out, Scott, because that's important. And that's something we're looking at. We've been talking about a little bit is how to sort of I almost hate to use the word marketing because it feels sort of like the wrong phrase, but distribute information more readily, you know, and that I think in my mind includes some of those brochures and the trophies and newsletters and things like that. So, but thank you. I'm going to look into that as well. I'm making myself a note right now to see what we can do to make that more available. Okay. Any other thoughts on communication in particular?
I have a question. Okay. Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having this town hall. I think this is a really important step to get everybody together communicating. I think there's also, because I'm thinking like, okay, why New Mexico State Poetry Society when you talk about it to other people? We have so many other events going on in New Mexico and poetry everywhere. So I know we have our mission somewhere, but is there any plan to kind of really focus? Like, we have benefits, but any stories or really things like why, what are some things that we could tell people to why join? And, you know, $20, I know that's been the membership for a while. To me, that sounds really reasonable, but, and, or like maybe just for the convention, if nothing else, you know, you get to go to that, or it's hooked up with the National Society, but I don't know if you've discussed that. I guess that might be one way to generate some interest for membership.
That's a wonderful question, and it's so very timely. yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because we actually have been looking at that. We were considering, one of the things we've been talking about recently is including testimonials from members of the New Mexico State Poetry Society, sort of hopefully talking about what their experiences have been and how that's been a positive for them. So we can include that as part of the sort of list of benefits and, you know, some of those things. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. We're still working on it, I can say, but I know we've talked about it at least. Did you want to add to that, Shirley?
Yeah, I submitted mine. I don't know whether Debbie has got it up yet, but I did write an article on kind of like, what does NMSPS mean to me? Or it was how I got into it, what I found there. What did it offer me that made me interested in joining?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I know we do have that email. I see, okay, I want to make sure I'm not missing any other hands. I apologize if I do. Unfortunately, I can't see everyone, so I'm kind of scrolling back and forth to see if anyone has their hand up. But thank you for adding that, Shirley. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We want people, and you know, I think it'd just be nice to hear also from people what their positive experiences have been. Because I know we have a lot of members that have been part of the society now for many, many years. And I would love to hear from some of those folks as well, you know, why they keep coming back, if you will. So yeah, we'll definitely look into that and develop that further. In fact, what I'd love to do, and it's something we haven't really discussed at length yet, but something that I know I would like to try to do at some point is start creating videos of sorts. I see your hand, June. I'll come to you next in just one moment. Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to consider making sort of almost video testimonials or video advertisements almost for the society, so that we can also show people what we're doing, right? Because we do have these great events. And I think seeing that and seeing poets in action, so to speak, could be a very helpful way to increase our visibility as well. I'm sorry, y'all, if you hear that noise in the background. Apparently my daughter is having some sort of meltdown. I'll tend to that. June.
I put a comment in the chat, but I wanted to state it. I have a lot of poetry, and I know everybody is now saying submittable is the way to do it. I'm old fashioned. I was used to doing letters and sending them out. So I've been intimidated enough that I've never set up an account. So my suggestion is, if somebody would do kind of a hands-on workshop, small group. And I mean, I could come with, you know, a poem. I'd love to just get an account set up and do it one time, because then I know I'd be on my way.
If I can jump in here, I've been helping people with Submittable, well, since Dos Gatos Press first started using it, what, 10 years ago, Scott? I'd be glad to do such a thing.
That could be a great chapter workshop or a convention work. You know, you could do it on Zoom and screen share and show people how to do it.
Yeah, it would be an easy thing to do on Zoom, and it would be easy to do the share screen thing. And June's right, individuals who have a poem
because
could be already thinking about where they'd want. It's once you get June, once you get set up, it's much less daunting after that. It's pretty easy once you get set up with Zoom. It's just, it's biting the bullet. And I don't mind helping with that. I've been doing it for a long time.
So David, I've had somebody explain it to me and it looks fine. It you know, as they talk through it, but that doesn't get it done. So
it doesn't. With Dos Gatos Press, I actually helped individuals who were too intimidated by it to even try it, at the point where we decided we were not going to take mail submissions anymore. So it can be done so that it's not just telling somebody, but you're going through it.
I think that would be incredible, David. Yes, Shirley.
What David said is correct, June, that it's signing up for the account is super easy. You enter your name, your email address, and you do a password and verify it, and you've got your account. You know, that's all there
that's,
is.
That's true. That's true, Shirley, but it's like,
I'm telling you,
it's
for
like many
years.
Other things in that it is very intimidating if you've never done it before.
Yes, I know. But when I first used Submittable, I hadn't done it before either. And what I did was I entered the contest, the national contest. And that is a little bit different because the way it's set up is that you have to kind of go in and know that you need to go back and load one contest at a time. But once you get the hang of it, it's not that difficult anymore. And
Shirley, I've had 3 years of people telling me that, and it's not getting it done for me. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think let's not make June feel bad about the fact that she's intimidated. I think it's a perfectly legitimate thing to say, let's figure out a way to give help to the people who need some extra help.
I agree with you, Janet. And
out.
I was intimidated by all of these things. I mean, it's one step at a time. And I agree with June that it's something we need to do. And I would be glad to be involved in doing it.
Right.
The workshop.
And it is really true that it would be very good, not just to do a generic one, but to do something that is actually the way that the national contests are set up, because they are set up a little differently than some of the others where you've only got, maybe you're only entering one thing or to one contest. In this case, you might be entering more than one contest, and it is teachable, and we can sit down and do that. We could probably use the National Federation setup for that before the contest thing start, so that we could have a little practice run on it or something. So we could check into that. And I agree. I think that having a tutorial on that specifically designed for the Federation contest is a great idea.
Agree. Would you mind, David, if we reach out to you about that after this to talk details a little bit more and see how we can assist you with doing that?
Not at all. I'm willing to communicate with whomever, and we can figure out whether it should be offered through the convention in April or whatever. I'm willing to do it because I've been helping people with Submittable, and I understand, because of my own hesitation, at various stages of learning about anything to do with computers, that biting the bullet that first time, it's just plain hard.
It is.
It's easy for someone like me. It's easy to sit here and say, oh, well, it's easy, but it's not until you figured it out. So
maybe, yeah. David, suggestion? Yes, maybe please. A January, like a New Year's resolution thing, you know, get on Submittable. Do it. And then if you need a follow-up at the convention because people heard about it and want to know more about it. But that's one of my, I don't usually do resolutions, but that's one of them for me.
Andy, thank you. Because at a convention, I've got a lot of other interests. There's not going to be a hands-on to get this done.
Well, I don't mind. January's wide open for me. I don't mind working with whomever to to figure out when to schedule it, and then the organization can help spread the word. But I just think this is doable. Yeah. January's great. I like that idea, Andy.
My dear.
January, and I'm talking about this January, the earlier the better. If we were to get together some little YouTube thing or a thing like that, we could put that on the Federation's YouTube channel. People could go in and see how they load something onto the Federation contest thing, have it be for them. And because submission starts in January, then you could show them how to do it. And you could give them tips on waiting until you got all of your contest entries completed and load them time by time, because that is, I found that crucial.
I can tell you right now, though, Shirley, because I helped set this up. You and I had hour-long phone conversations.
Yep.
I don't think anybody wants to start with a Federation setup because it is endlessly complicated. I want to do a workshop with people who are actually there, not a YouTube video, a workshop so that June can register for it. Anybody else who wants to can register for it. And they're actually step-by-step guided through it with someone who can answer their questions while it's going on. I don't want to do a YouTube video.
Okay.
And we probably should move on. Zach, I'm willing to do this and I'll work with whomever.
Thank you, David. I very much appreciate that. I know we all do. And yeah, we don't want to step on, we don't want to get in the way of your process either. So whatever we can do to make it as easy and accessible, I think.
We'll work something out. I'm perfectly willing to work with you guys.
Perfectly. Thank you, David.
I think Azima has her hand out and has had it for a while. Did you want to speak, Azima?
Azima?
There we go. Yes. I'd like to change the subject back to membership. My hunch is that most of the faces I see on here are either in Albuquerque or Santa Fe or Taos. That's my guess. I don't really know, but that's my guess. And I'm 5 hours away from you. I've been a member for 3 or 4 years now, and I get one email a year telling me that it's time to re-up. I join not only because I want to support our local river poets, and it feels like, you know, we're part of NSPS, so I want to be a part of that. But also, I feel like New Mexico is a hotbed of poetry. I mean, you know, when we have we change the name of Word Fiesta every other year. The talent that comes down to be a part of that is just amazing. I met Sylvia, and I forget your husband's name. I have your book, but I can't remember your name. Anyway, we got a lot of poets down here, and you got a lot of poets up there, and it feels important to stay connected. And Elise Stewart, I think, is our chapter head. And she asked me if I would be the one to come to these meetings because she can't do that anymore. And so that's why I'm here. I got an email saying, please come from Zach. I'm just wanting to get across to you how much of an outrider I feel down here. You know what I'm saying? I don't ever hear from you except saying, you know, it's time to re-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you can talk to her.
Thank you, Azima, for sharing that. That's something that, those are very much the kinds of things that I know I want to hear, because that's something we want to address then. Because I agree with you completely. We are a statewide community, and we want to increase that sense of community as much as possible. So, you know, I think we should definitely look at ways that we can make you feel more included. I know that we have been talking a little bit about trying to make road trips occasionally, perhaps, and maybe look at hosting events across the state that would, you know, whatever that might look like. We haven't gotten real far in that conversation, but it's been something that's been in our minds again. Hopefully maybe the monthly event can be one way of addressing that, if, you know, as we make sure that you get the event invites for those things as well. And I'm hoping myself to get back to monthly messages to the membership, so that it's not just, because I know if I was only getting a message once a year that said, hey, send us your money, I'd be annoyed. Right. So I don't want that to be the case for anybody.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, all of this is made much more difficult because of the pandemic, because we can't even decide where we can meet now. That it's, we were meeting outside at a coffee shop, but now it's too cold to do that. And, you know, sometimes there would be 12 people and we can't find a space big enough that we can sit 6 feet apart from each other. And it's difficult to read poetry with a mask on. I find that very difficult. So, you know, it's made the whole thing much more difficult for all of us everywhere, I'm sure.
Are you doing Zoom at all, Azima? Or does anybody know how to do that? For like,
oh, yeah,
I know it's pretty temporary, but.
When we first stopped meeting because of the pandemic, I got into using Zoom a lot. I work with dreams and I have dream groups online. So I'm very conversant with Zoom. And I did one or maybe two where I just invited everybody in River Poets to come, but maybe it would be different now, but there were so many people that were, you know, Zoom shy that they didn't want to do it. So I don't know. We may have to go back to that. Yeah.
Azima, one thing about, you know, Zoom is that with the open mics, we've been seeing Elise and Pamela Williams and some other folks from Silver City in the open mics here, like Fixed and Free and Cactus and so forth. So one suggestion might be for the River Poets, I guess you call them, to sponsor some kind of Zoom event. It doesn't necessarily have to be an open mic. It could be a workshop. Mm-hmm. It could be a discussion. But to invite everybody from the society, and that way we would get to know you a little better and vice versa. So, you know, that's just a suggestion.
Yeah. Thank you. And I did get, I think Pamela sent out an invitation to all the River Poets for one of your Zoom things. And I couldn't do it because there's always conflicts, you know,
right.
But I didn't know about it, and she told me. So, yeah.
And this is Janet. John, another possibility for groups that don't have the familiarity with doing Zoom meetings, like you and Jules do, for example, with Cactus or others with like Fixed and Free, or even, I mean, our Albuquerque chapter is now going to go back. We met on Saturday in person, but we're going to go back at least for a couple of months to Zoom.
Yeah.
Is to maybe one of the ways that we can reach out to each other is to offer to help out one of these other groups that doesn't feel so comfortable, so that perhaps could Cactus or one of the groups offer the Silver City group to host them, as to have it be their hosted event 1 month, so that we would get to know them, and it would be the hosting them mostly reading, and us getting to know them, and them getting familiar and more comfortable with doing Zoom stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion, yeah. Jane. Yeah.
A guest host, or even just attend another chapter meeting as a guest to see what they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all learn from each other by just seeing what other people do a lot.
Absolutely.
And it seemed like a natural to me, but some of the people don't like to do it. I mean, that was then. And it may be that now, after we've been in this thing for 2 years or so.
We're all sick of it. Better than nothing, right?
But you know, there may be people that are more willing now. So I'm going to talk to Elise about this.
And I'll reach out to you as well, if that's okay, Azima, so we can look at some options to see what we can do to help with that, because I want to make that as easy as possible for you. I'm going to also call on Iris, because I see that you've had your hand up for a moment.
It didn't hurt because it's virtual. All right. Okay. I'm really interested in poetry for the youth, and poetry, things that we've done in the past. You did mention poets in the, poets in the school? And we had like some success in the middle school with, I think Megan Baldrige had the program going, and there was at least 7 or 8 of us, some of us are here, who went in. And I thought that was an excellent few days that we went. And I thought I saw that you had a poet, a chair of the youth. Do you?
We did. Unfortunately, when we lost some of the board a little while back, that was one of the folks. But we are working to get back with that, and to be also to give her proper respect as well. She's also been helpful in saying that she's willing to help where she can still, even though she did have to withdraw. But she's also now a new grad student, so I'm not sure how much availability she has. But we are definitely looking at that, because I think the poets in the schools is one of our big initiatives. And I would like to even increase that and find more ways to get into more of the schools, because I think that next generation of poets coming behind us is one of the most important things we can do. Absolutely. So yeah, I'd love to talk with anybody interested in that, because I want to bring that back and look at, again, the anthology that was done for them. And just looking at how we can extend that, because I think if we can get, ideally, right, in an ideal world, if we could get elementary and middle school and high school and really have all of them participating in different ways. I mean, just imagine how beautiful that could be. So yes, thank you, Iris. That's a great question. And yeah, we want to definitely get that back as soon as possible. And I'm also looking at to look at also how we just increase our diversity across the board, you know, with between ages, looking at all of the intersectionality, looking at how are we including our LGBTQ family? How are we including, all of our BIPOC folks? How are we including all of our, you know, just everybody, the full spectrum of humanity we want to see represented as much as possible. So those are definitely questions we want to address. So any thoughts that anybody has on that, please continue to share them. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great comment. There's a comment in the chat that says, if NMSPS did nothing else but provide a whole spectrum of poets in the schools across the state, we'd make a huge impact. That's fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we have, you know, we have such a tremendous wealth of poets in the state when you think about it. I mean, you look at our state poet laureate and our city poet laureates, and you look at, we have National Book Award winners, and we have all of these tremendous poets who are contributing to the poetry world at large out there. So I want to also find ways for us to bring that together for our community as well. Because for me, one of my, yes, absolutely, Ellen, absolutely. I think that, as I think it was Jules that said this earlier, we all learn from each other, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's very true. And that's, for me, that's one of the great goals, is if we can include more of the community. So we are learning from each other, you know, so we're hearing, you know, we're discussing accessibility, we're discussing representation, we're discussing, you know, also the native sides. We're also looking at how do we avoid appropriation of cultures, all of these wonderful, powerful conversations that we can have. So it's all definitely on the radar. I will say that. Other questions or comments? Oh, that's a great question, Andy. I'm going to defer that. I don't know that Debbie is here with us, so I don't know if Helen might know the answer to that question, or Shirley. Do we know what the current membership count is? I have not looked at the numbers recently myself.
I honestly don't know. Last year we had about 130 members, but that people joined in order to go to the convention because it was free to members. Mm-hmm. I know since the beginning of September, we've received about 40 renewals, and there might have been one or two new members in there. I don't really have an exact count. Probably Debbie's the best source on that.
Thank you, Helen. That's great. I can get that information out to everybody, though, if you'd like to know it. It is something I like to know as well. And of course, when the convention announcement goes out, hopefully that we'll see another spike in members as well. But I definitely want to do everything we can to start getting some of our youth members involved too. And again, hopefully the monthly event can help with that as well. I think those folks in the community here who run workshops can probably testify to the fact that once you start an event, you may see lower numbers at first, but the more consistent you are, the more that community builds, right? So hopefully this can be one of those as well. But yes, I will look into that. I think it's pretty good though. I think we're in pretty good shape for the most part. I mean, the last numbers I saw were pretty positive, but I don't recall exactly what they were.
I'll say that our budget is based on 100 members. That seems realistic from mm-hmm. the past. And just a real quick note on finances. If you multiply $20 a year times 100 members, it's $2,000. Most people can't live in New Mexico on that amount in a month. And I'm not saying I don't respect it. You know, it's four digits. It's a significant number. Nobody would write a check tomorrow for a car repair that much. But for an organization, that's the cost of keeping the lights on. We have a Zoom account, which I hope Azima and the people and all the chapters have access to, so they can hold meetings by Zoom when they're willing and able. We have a PO box. We have web software. We have membership software. And we have a small amount budgeted for chapter events. So meeting in person, Albuquerque gets a small amount. They have a small amount for honoraria. The multimedia asks for some money. Santa Fe asks for some money. Some of the other chapters are a bit smaller and haven't necessarily asked for expenses. But if they grew and had needed a venue or had speakers, that's what the budget would be covering. There's no room for anything else, which is why we're going to charge members for the convention, because the convention costs money. And budgeting a very conservative amount based on last year, 40 or 50 attendees, the convention could still lose money a little bit, and it could cost as much as $50 a person. So giving it to members at $25 or $20 for early and non-members for $50, you know, the numbers don't lie. And I know people hate money, and probably artists hate it more, but that you have to deal with the financial reality. You wouldn't budget to spend more than you're earning yourselves unless you had, you know, special resources or taking it out of savings or something. We can't take it out of savings forever. We do have some savings to draw on, but that's not a forever thing. So we have to be as prudent as we can. And I realize that I'm very new here. And I started during COVID. So I know that it's hard to see what the society is doing for anybody. And keeping lights on, you don't necessarily feel a personal benefit, especially if you're not using Zoom, especially if you're not looking at membership roll every day, which who wants to do that? But those are just the cost of doing business, having an organization. And beyond that, you know, we have to charge for things like convention, nominal fee for contests, et cetera. And, you know, mostly what we're all volunteer staff here. There's like five of us maybe. So we need, you know, some warm bodies with some skills and some willingness to apply them, whether it's, you know, youth, secretary, membership, communication. Those some jobs need to be filled, and they don't pay anything, but they can be worthwhile in other camps.
Thank you, Helen. That's wonderful. Go ahead. Somebody was speaking. Oh, okay.
Do we have that posted anywhere, or do you like where do you post it? I know the board gets it, or where is it available?
I believe it is on the website, if I'm not mistaken.
Post what? Well, we talked
about budget. The
I'm not aware of it, but Zach, you have it, or if you want another copy from me, we can ask Debbie to post it.
Absolutely.
I send monthly financials to the board, and those record our actual expenses and income versus budget. Now the budget's changed. It'll be a new calculus. The actual budget that was just recently approved, I can send it to you and Debbie, Zach, so it can get posted. That's the secret there. It's, you know, it's dollars and cents.
I see.
It used to be posted, and like most nonprofits, like if you're a member, they have like, here's in their, you know, quarterly or whatever it is, here's the budget, that kind of stuff. So that's, I was just trying to find it on the website.
It's a great question.
I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot of nonprofit accounting. The only thing they put on their websites is their annual report and maybe their federal Form 990. You don't get quarterly reports. You don't see a budget. Just an annual thing.
Or the newsletters or something like that.
Yeah. I haven't done that in a nonprofit that I've seen, but we can't.
I mean, like my Scandinavian Club, for example, shares it, or other, you know, nonprofits, there's small groups. It's just kind of a way of communicating.
We
raise this much for this fundraiser, you know, it's whatever they're doing.
The Poetry Society I used to head up in Rochester was quite transparent. And, you know, I think it all comes down to transparency and frequent communication. I think a lot, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole last year, you know, but I think that part of the problem is if there isn't frequent weekly, bi-weekly, whatever communication, you have a fertile ground for rumors, conspiracies, whatever you want to say. So the best way to combat that is keep the membership informed on a regular basis.
That's because if people know, you know, they're fine with things, they just want to know what's going on. What's coming in, what's coming out, what's you know, so it that's part of being, so you feel included as part of a society. So,
I was going to answer a question that came up earlier, which was about how many members we have. I, on my latest Excel spreadsheet that I got from Debbie Gutierrez, we have 85 members, 85 paid members in the Albuquerque chapter. They're not all living here in Albuquerque, but and there are some that are even out of state, but that's okay.
That's awesome, Scott. That's really awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I did see a suggestion in the chat as well about possibly including the financials in some of the quarterly newsletter or something. So that's something we could certainly visit. I think that's a great idea. And of course, I know I believe we'll be discussing that briefly as well at the business meeting at the convention. So we do want to make sure that information is available. Shirley?
If the board meetings are quarterly and we get budget reviews at that, perhaps we should just publish the minutes with the budget report in that quarterly. That takes care of that. But the other Great thing idea. Is... The other thing we've run into with communications is that when we've sent it out on MailChimp, there are a lot of people who block that. They think it's junk mail coming in because it's sent in mass. And a lot of people are, you know, the reason they don't get word from the society is because it gets caught in their spam blockers.
Well, but you can so, at least you send it out. If people don't open it, that's not your problem. It's just that at least you're sending it. And if they want to start looking for their spam or, you know, that's up to them. But
right. And if we have a good subject line that says this is here's if we have that subject line that says here's your newsletter, they'll be more likely, I think. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask, would just as sort of a general quick consensus, I'm curious, would monthly feel appropriate, or are we, or do we feel like we want something more?
What are you talking about for newsletters or what?
Like a newsletter, kind of here's what's going on, what we're up to, kind of a thing. Yeah, just a simple, relatively short communication that says, you know, this is what we're working on, here's our finances, and here's what we're trying to do.
I think monthly would suffice, you know. If there were events happening, convention things more frequent, but, you know, at very least monthly. Yeah.
Yeah. And if
I have a hard time thinking it needs to be more than monthly. I mean, people get overwhelmed with things, and I think monthly is a reasonable amount. There might be a reason to do something in between, but otherwise, you know, after that, it's like, oh, really another, we just get overwhelmed with emails. So
that's a good
month is good. Mm-hmm.
I agree with Janet. Monthly's enough.
This is helpful. Thank you.
Here we go.
Okay. I let me make sure that I'm not missing any hands here, first of all. Okay. I think we can absolutely look at increasing that. And of course, when we get a communications chair, and I will acknowledge that someone in the chat has made a communication, reached out to us about possibly helping with communication. So thank you very much. And I will be in touch with you very, very soon so we can discuss that further. But yeah, I think, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I know that I like to know what's going on myself. And I agree the best way to feel involved and prevent, you know, the fertile ground for rumor mongering is very much to have, you know, very clear, transparent communication. So I love it. I love it. Thank you. I realize that we're getting close to 8. Good point. Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. That's great. I think maybe keeping it, we'll try to keep the newsletter very short, very brief and succinct. Maybe we can even do bullet points. And then if you want to read more, you could go to the website or something. So we can try to keep it really succinct for everybody, so it's not overwhelming. And then you can read what you want to read as well. You know, I know that I tend to scan emails. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I do want to be mindful of the time, but I also don't want to miss any questions or comments or concerns that people may have. I have one more announcement that I'll make right before we wrap up, just something exciting for folks. Yeah, it's true. It is, John. Thank you for that. I want to open the floor for any other concerns or comments or questions, things that have been burning desires.
I just wanted to say hello to everyone. This is Daryl at Santa Fe. My first meetings, I've just been listening. Y'all all sound very passionate, which is good. Okay. That's all I wanted to say. Hey, everybody.
Appreciate that, Daryl. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Daryl. I remember hearing
hello.
I think it was at the convention 3 years before COVID.
Which convention? Oh, you or your convention? I don't know.
I heard you somewhere. Maybe it was at one of the local venues in Albuquerque. I'm not sure, but I remember.
I do that sometimes. It could have been. Sure.
Might have been at the art gallery.
It could have been. But I'm doing lots of those in Santa Fe these days. You know, I'm poet laureate now. And so like I say, I just wanted to say hello to everyone. Please proceed with your business. I don't want to.
Congratulations.
Did you say you're poet laureate?
Yes, for Santa Fe.
Yes, of Santa Fe.
Congratulations. Yay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it looks like you've been staying very busy in that role as well, which is wonderful. So.
Yes, I have. Yes, that's true.
Hopefully we can maybe get you to sit, maybe we can get you down here to Albuquerque and have you do something.
I'm hoping to do that. I was talking to someone about that possibility today. If y'all want that, I don't have time. Well, my email is darylwellington@hotmail.com, but just look up online. You can find a way to get in touch with me. darylwellington@hotmail.com, just like my name at hotmail.com. And yes, I'm very interested in doing that.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
I would certainly come because I remember being very impressed with your poetry a couple years ago.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's gotten worse since then. But anyway, thank you. Okay. You have my email if you need it. And you can always contact the city and they'll get in touch with me. You know, that's easy. But sure.
Love it. Thank you, Daryl.
So I had a quick detail question. Sure. I came in a little bit late at the beginning on the video contest. Do I remember hearing that the poem that to be done is supposed to be an unpublished poem?
I think yes, it was. I'm sorry, I had to think for a moment. But again, just to repeat for others who may have come in late, the video poetry contest is live on the website. Outside of that caveat that we are looking for something unpublished, just because we'd love to see more newer work or whatever you've been working on currently. But yeah, you can record it any way that you like. You can record it on your cell phone or with a video camera or your computer screen or any other way you have. If you want to take the painstaking process of animating it by hand, you'll probably win. But I'm not encouraging that. That's a lot of work. But yeah, you can submit in any form you like. There is a $50 prize for the winner, and we're probably going to publish most or all of the entries on our YouTube page because we haven't been using our YouTube page too much, but we should be. And that's a way to also show recognition to all the entries. Unless, of course, somebody submits something that's the most erotic poem of all time, we may not be able to share that. But otherwise, and any other questions, please let me know. We're really hoping people will submit to that. We're planning to do that roughly quarterly, so that we can make it something that feels more kind of commonplace as well. So people, why not take advantage of the technology that exists, right? There's some fun ways to do that. Also, a quick announcement before I forget. So coming up in February, I'm happy to announce that I will be hosting an event, and we're working on ways. So I mentioned that we're looking at trying to find readers and presenters for our convention in this next year, 2022, that are a little bit different than maybe what we've seen in the past. As a sort of lead up to that, my group will actually be hosting a poet some of y'all may know, Eduardo C. Corral, will be visiting us in February. So if you're not familiar with his work, I highly recommend checking out his two books, Guillotine and Slow Lightning. They're phenomenal. But he'll be visiting with us virtually in February. So that's something that everybody who's an MSPS member is welcome to attend and check out. And that's part of our buildup to what we hope the convention can be this next year. I just didn't want to forget to mention that. Other than that, we're almost at 8. So is there any other further business? I want to make sure everybody has been heard from. I will put that in chat right now. Eduardo C. Corral, he's won just a ton of awards for his writing. He also is probably one of the hardest working poets I know. This man will write a poem, and then after he's written it, he will rewrite it in 11 or 12 different forms just to see which one. And the process of that is how he sort of winnows it down to what's most necessary. So yeah, it's more work than I'm probably going to start doing on poetry, but and we will try to make sure we get that next newsletter. Well, you're probably going to get a newsletter with some of these same announcements here in the next week, as kind of a starting point, and then hopefully we can get the newsletter out to you once a month with updates on everything, certainly with the convention coming especially. So,
great. Okay. Thank you.
I have one more piece of news. It's not NMSPS related, but we actually do have a date now for the Poets Picnic, which we are hoping to have in person again this May. May 7th will be the date for it. Hopefully by then we can meet, since it meets outside in person, and we'll see. But we do have a date for it, so we are eager. We've been wanting to do it for the last 2 years, and we've done a lot of prep for it already, but with COVID, it's hard to know what's going to happen. So maybe we'll have it. We're going to try.
That's great, Scott.
That's really good.
Are you going to do another call, or are you going to use the stuff from the year when you had to cancel it?
We're still trying to determine that.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all again for being here. You'll hear from us soon, and please feel free to reach out with anything that you need. Have a great night, everyone. Blessings of light and peace to you.
Thanks, everybody.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.